The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. It is Wednesday, the 26th of May, 2021, and you're tuned in to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9 FM. Good morning and welcome to On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And here are some of the other ways you can stay tuned into today's show. You are obviously already tuned into 96.9 FM on your radio, but you can stream live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. Or you could listen in on TV on channel 969, that's Cable Bahamas, or channel 612, on Flow, or download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232 or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. Also, join the Ministry of Finance on Thursday, May 27th at 10 a.m. for the National Budget Press Conference. Watch the live stream on Facebook via Ministry of Finance, the Bahamas, or tune into your favorite local TV or radio station. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. So my guest today is Orchid Burnside, young Bahamian artisan, cultural stakeholder, businesswoman, event organizer, and comedian. But before I get into this segment of my show, I want to talk a little bit about what is in the newspaper today and what isn't in the newspaper today and should be in the newspaper. First things first, the road's still leaking on Shirley Street East by the gas station. Some of the paint has worn away now. There's even new paint. Like, there's been a graduation, a matriculation of paints. There's new paints in the road. But the road is still leaking right there. And since water and sewerage owe somebody $85 billion on a water bill, I figure maybe we could start by attending to this leak. Also, there's a regular pool of water in the road on Shirley Street, just east of East Street, outside that big fancy church there. I don't know if that water settles there because there's a car washing business set up there. Like, I don't know if they're trying to start a new industry in the country, but it maybe is a leak too. Could be a leak.
Could be a leak.
I ain't sure. Check it out. Also, I just want to throw in this friendly reminder that A, seismic activity may be the cause of these frequent leaks, particularly on the eastern foreshore. Could be seismic activity. Maybe y'all should investigate that. But most importantly, the water's still running. Also, to the Minister of Works, since you gave us an exposition on the things you are and are not responsible for, just a reminder that you are responsible for that water leaking into the road. In fact, you're responsible for all the water leaking into all of the road, straight up the Eastern Foreshore. It's a regular problem. But I can see that your hands are busy. Because since you gave us that lovely essay on the things you are responsible for, it turns out some things that you are responsible for popped back up into the ether. And LOI believe that you are soundly responsible for them. You're also responsible for the fact that we are 4 years into this administration and substantively the summer has begun and here we are facing the same issues
every year.
The same concern, frustration, and fear. Not whether the power will go off, you know.
When?
Because it is 2021 and we all know that the power will go off. Mm-hmm. It's like when the Met Office say it's 30% chance of rain. Do you know what that means? That means it could rain somewhere where you is. And if it goes above 30% chance of rain, that means it definitely could rain wherever you go today, but only when you there. I have experienced this.
Agreed.
Anyway, dear sir, Minister of Works, LOI believe that you are responsible for this. And LOI believe that you have a lot of work in front of you. LOI do believe that we deserve to know when the power is going off. If you're going to engage in any type of load sharing, electricity sharing, right? Is it load shedding? Because it's load, no, it's load sharing. Because you're all sharing the load with all of us, right? We deserve to know when. That's it. We're not asking for plenty. We're even asking for much.
No, that's the least.
Just give us a general window of when to expect the power to go off so that I could do something like just turn off my whole house switch. See, when you tell me there's a possibility the power going off between 3 and 5 today, everybody in my house know it ain't gonna be no electricity between 3 and 5 today. Because that main switch going off, and we're not going to risk destroying any equipment in our homes. That's where we are in 2021, begging. Not for you to keep the power on, because we know that's impossible. Even if you live at the end of Frank Watson Boulevard, LOI do believe it is impossible to have electricity 24/7 in the Bahamas. I just think it's a pipe dream. I think that's why the little children say this is not a real place, because you're not guaranteed continuous access to electricity. In fact, somebody from BPL once told me that I'm not paying for a continuous stream of electricity into my house, because I told him that's the only way it works, is if it's continuous. Like if you send a packet of electricity and then pause and then send another packet, it ain't quite working. It only works. Y'all keep telling us that we don't do well in school. We do very well in school. It's when we get out of school that we don't do very well. Also, just a couple more notes before we move on into the show. I think this is important. If Sabas could get an ambassadorship, right, you become a representative of our country to a whole nother country, then y'all better give Rastadam a license to grow weed for their own consumption. And then also give them a license to smoke it. Because it'd be horrible if you gave them a license to grow it for their own consumption.
But you can cultivate it and right. You can't smoke it.
Right, you can't smoke it, right? Because, you see, in this world, in this thing we call capitalism, right? I can't even explain it. Sometimes you just do illegal things and then you get lucky enough to still be doing the illegal thing when it becomes legal. And then now you straight. That's just how capitalism is working, people. I can't explain it any better. The lawyers and the legal community refuse to explain it to us. So that's what it is. The only thing I have to say is, I'm not upset at Sabas for getting his ambassadorship. But if Sabas could get an ambassadorship, then surely Rastaman could get his license and her license. Because it's the woman who's be in the field. To grow, to cultivate, and to consume the plant that is a part of their spiritual practice. Simple things. On another note, I want to point out Labor Day holiday is coming up. Mm-hmm. I had the misfortune, because I think it's a misfortune, of seeing a picture from, I think, an emergency or a very important labor meeting last night, a BCPOU meeting. Okay. And on the table is a tablecloth. And the tablecloth looked very familiar to me because it was wrinkled and unironed. And it looked like every piece of clothing I own, because I refuse to iron clothes as long as the cost of electricity is so high. Right? That's my protest. This tablecloth ain't never get ironed ever in life. The cotton ain't never get stretched out. Nope, nope. That is a brand new tablecloth. Ain't never seen an iron once. And it was troubling because I realized, right, that that image, the tablecloth sitting on the table, is very telling, possibly prophetic. But I ain't trying to charge nobody $50 a month to listen to me, so I can't talk about prophecy. But this is very telling. I imagine that the status of the labor movement is like, with the word, the fancy word, commensurate. Like the status of the labor movement is equal to the status of that tablecloth sitting on that table, all wrinkled up like nobody is paying attention to it. I bet you the people who are supposed to be tending to the tablecloth are tending to tablecloths in the House of Assembly now. I feel like that's what has happened. Like, one day you're a labor unionist and your job is to make sure the tablecloth is pressed and ready for the meeting. And then the next day you in the House of Assembly, right, like in the Senate, because that's where we like to put neophytes, even though the Senate is for elder statesmen and people with experience in politics, we put them there. And maybe what they're tending to is making sure that the tablecloths in the House of Assembly are very well pressed. Right. Yeah. Anyway, this is a very important image. It's very telling.
Or maybe they're... power went out between 3 and 5 and they just didn't have a chance to press the tablecloth.
Right, because that's when they figured they would press it, mm-hmm. because you never know.
You never know.
Right, because if I worked at BPL, I would guarantee that your power is on between 3 and 5 when you're sleeping and probably not using it. That's what I would do. Also, just a couple more notes before we get to the show. I see a number of people engaging public discourse with their displeasure about the recent statements from this group, Save Our Bahamas. It is not a new group. This group was formed well about 5-6 years ago, and even longer than that, maybe. This was formed to respond to the gambling referendum exercise and the gender equality referendum exercise. And people are very upset at this group because they feel like it's a special interest group and it only focuses on particular issues, right? And I
special interests.
Right. I want to say to the general public, it is a special interest group, just like the Bahamas Christian Council. And in case they didn't tell you, I will tell you. These are all political lobby groups. Their intent or their goal is to have entrenched in state policy Christian doctrine. That's what they into. That's what they focus on. You want them to focus on child molestation and child predation. Well, that don't really,
it doesn't not align.
Right.
It just
in one of their
hasn't been the focus.
Right. And maybe they're fine with the laws that exist now. Maybe they don't see a problem with the current policy on sexual and child predation. Predation, that's when you prey on children. But it ain't like you just get drunk one day and forget that, yeah, she looks 17, but she's really 12. That's not what it is. It's like a practice. It's like a culture. Mm-hmm. It's like when you go to the bar by the school on your lunch break.
Just to see.
Because you know the senior girls could be sporting it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a lot of that too. Anyway, so I want to say to people, not to save your energy, because that's not it. Reconsider how you engage, right? The organization, they are a political lobby group. Express your concerns in terms of policy. Maybe they will listen. Or better yet, form your own lobby group or form your own NGO or organization to focus on the issues that you think are important. And then what you do is, if you want to be petty, you go behind and you ask these organizations for sponsorships to support the work that you're doing. If you think they're not doing it, that's what you do. Form your organization, create a way to partner with them, and then ask them for money. And then look, everybody's working together happily. Last thing before we get into the show, there are two important events coming up this week on Friday the 28th. I think starting at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., the Orange Economy Visual and Performance Arts Seminar Series, right? And that's being produced by the Bahamas Development Bank. And you can go online and find the Zoom details to connect to that conversation. I think it's going to be a pretty cool conversation. And the more of us engage, the better the conversation will be. But also, there's this interesting event going on at UB, University of the Bahamas. I think it's put on by the School of Graduate Studies and Research. And it is Research Edge in conjunction with the International Journal of Bahamian Studies Special Issue on Hurricane Dorian, right? And they are hosting a panel discussion called Hurricane Dorian, Impacts, Recovery, and Future Preparations. And that starts at 2 p.m., 2, 4 p.m. on Friday also. And you can go to the University of the Bahamas' Facebook pages or call the university to find the Zoom link so you can join that conversation. I think it's going to be a good one. See, I've got a couple of texts here. I think their text or your text was for the segment before mine, but I will read it anyway because you spend your $6. Get ready for minutes to tax the poor Bahamians more, while millionaires who sells land and keys for millions pay nothing. Dear texter, that is called plantation model economics. That's exactly how it's going to be until we organize and strategize, but most importantly, determine this thing here. We got two options. Either we take care of ourselves, we do the hard work of taking care of ourselves, right? Or we run the risk in this game called Bahamian life, like invite people here to do what they want to do, but really we're trying to take advantage of them so they could take care of us.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't happen. We end up being taken advantage of, right? We don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's capitalism 101.
And it is lovely. It is lovely. So, hey, Kermit, my good producer, let's roll into a break. And then when we come back from the break, we're going to get into this discussion on experiential tourism, creating and curating a space, and local recreational and entertainment activities with Miss Orchid Burnside. There you go. There's my music. You're tuned into 96.9 Guardian.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.ps. Offer ends May 31st.
Good morning, Bahamas. Welcome back to Guardian 96.9 FM, and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. My guest today is Orchid Burnside, and she is, among things, a comedian. She is a funny woman that I look up to, even though she's a little younger than me. And while we were off air, we were cracking some jokes just now about BPL. You know, because that's the only thing you could do with them is crack joke on them. You can't do nothing. In fact, the situation is so weird, all you could do is crack joke on BPL because the workers are so great. Yeah. The linemen, the technicians, when these boys are out on the road, they are awesome. They are helpful. They are friendly. They are polite. And buddy, let you look like you are a mom or grandpa and you need a little extra help. They go in beyond what is required of them to help you out, right? So the only thing I could do is crack a little joke on BPL, right? But so I have a text here. The person said, I can't trust BPL to keep the lights on, especially during the summer. So please give me some information about where I can find solar-powered battery banks for my cell phone, please. Well, I can't advertise for nobody. Mm-hmm. I just can let you know this. They are out there, and they're everywhere, and they're in the places you don't expect them to be in. Right? Like you think you go into an electronics store, they in the corner store. Mm-hmm. Just every time you go out, in fact, every time you budget, you what you're going to do is you're going to put a dollar aside towards your battery pack because you're going to need it. But I think I make this important note. If you're serious in investing in solar, here's what you need to do. You need to start now because apparently the cost of solar is driving back up again. Mm-hmm. Right, we'd seen a continuous decrease, exponential decrease in the cost of solar. But I think because of the pandemic and the manufacturing dynamics, right, the cost is going up. So don't slunk on it. If you were considering investing in solar, now is the time to sit down with your banker and your contractor and your architect. And most importantly, your insurance agent. Please do not alter the structure or integrity of your roof without talking to your insurance agent. It's very important.
Sound advice.
They like the police. Anyway, good morning, Miss Burnside.
Morning.
Now, I done talk you up plenty, plenty. One thing I didn't say is this. Is Orchid Burnside is the co-organizer of one of the coolest events, one of the most fun events I've ever been to in the Bahamas. It was an improv storytelling competition. Mm-hmm. And it was a series. It wasn't just one night. It was themed over, was it like 4 or 5 months?
Well, it was the course of a year. And then we brought it back again last year. But, mm-hmm. you know, COVID didn't want us to be great.
Yeah.
So we had to shut that down. But, you know, we're always thinking about ways to bring it back virtually if people aren't too zoomed out. You know, we're just sitting at our computers all day. But
yeah.
The premise of the event is something that was really important to Sonia Farmer and I, who is my co-organizer, because we are natural storytellers here. Mm-hmm. And storytelling is so cathartic.
Mm-hmm.
And there are spaces for, you know, spoken word and poetry and those have very strict sort of performative aspects to it, but storytelling, you could approach that from any angle. And we both enjoy it, and we thought it'd be cool to sort of bring that into the space here, and we'll bring it back again one day.
Absolutely. What I liked about the event is, although I knew what to expect, mm-hmm. I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
And so there's a general theme
right.
for that night.
Mm-hmm.
But with the wide variety of performers or like styles of performers,
mm-hmm.
It was just amazing to see the way that people brought out, like the Halloween one.
Right.
Was awesome.
Like how 12 different people could approach the same topic
yeah.
and maybe sometimes overlap in some ways, but really consider an idea in different ways. And I think that's what's really powerful about it too, because you get so much insight into obviously the person who's telling the story, but the community as a collective and how they respond to those stories as well.
Mm-hmm. So I brought you here today to talk about the orange economy and the potential of experiential tourism and the importance of curating a space, an event, or an experience,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was thinking about some questions like to throw out to you and the wider audience. And I said, how do we curate an experience, an event, or even a whole vacation? How do we make something as mundane as shopping or as boring as shopping for someone like me,
mm-hmm.
an experience that somebody will come back for over and over again? And what are some of the ways that we could not just like radically shift our tourism product, but what are some of the ways that we can shift how we entertain ourselves locally,
right.
and that's how we do business mm-hmm. with each other, right?
Right. That's a lot in there. I mean, those are all very different questions. But, you know, you did say how to make something as mundane as shopping interesting or make it into a tourism product. The fact of the matter is, while you and I may not think that shopping is interesting, people love to shop. I mean, when you look downtown in regular times, people are in and out of all of those stores. You asking the wrong question.
I figure people like spending other people's money.
Right. Well, it's two things. So one of the things is how do you get people to spend the tourism dollar with Bahamians and keep that money in the country? And mm-hmm. how do you sell products that are uniquely Bahamian within the tourism space? And then how can you then create an experience around that? But all across the world, there are shopping tours. Like you could, basically you're hiring a local to take you around and show you where the best secret spots are, to take you in the back room to get your counterfeit bag or whatever else it is. Not saying that those things exist.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Or jump in the car and carry you by Mortimer's because you were like, I really want to find out what a peanut cake is. The experience creates itself, really.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of countries, people make it a point to go to whatever open-air market it is for fruits and vegetables. They want to try something they've never tried before. Because how do you explain, for example, to someone who's not from here what a dilly tastes like?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
You're like, well, you know, it's sort of the texture of a pear. Not avocado, a pear.
Yeah, a ripe.
But what does it taste like?
Yeah.
It tastes like dilly.
Yeah, and nothing else.
And nothing else. So if you want to come here and have a shopping tour, it could be a food shopping tour. But
right.
where is that open air market to take these people?
Right. And listen, I'm a true Bahamian
mm-hmm.
because I have a particular type of dilly in my yard. And
mm-hmm.
I only eat that type of dilly.
Boil it.
And people has asked me what my dilly tastes like, you know, and I tell them it tastes good. Like,
wow.
I have nothing to compare it to, right? It tastes the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
quite like it. So look here, let's get to one of these questions at the bottom. I am all about farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about selling produce and creating a space to sell my produce in, right? You operate a farmer's market at the Dungalik Studios Art Gallery. Mm-hmm. At the Art Gallery. And I'm going to say to my audience, if you've ever been there, you know that the place is an experience in and of itself. So how did that space evolve to what it is today?
The farmer's market or the Dungalik property?
The whole thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, my parents, Jackson and Pam Burnside, they founded Dungalik at Independence, basically. They had just come home from studying abroad. And they decided to build this brand, and the brand was Dungalik. And it has morphed in so many different ways as the art gallery. There was a junkanoo shack on the property, and they made junkanoo ornaments before it was cool, to make junkanoo into an actual viable industry that you could profit from year-round. They've done all sorts of things. I can't even think. They've failed a lot. They've grown a lot. And now what it is the gallery space and actually a library upstairs. There's a framing boutique on property and also the craft cottage. So what it really is at its core is a kind of a community space that is rooted in what it is to be Bahamian, or their concept of what it is to be Bahamian, and to promote and to support Bahamian art and artisans.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a wonderfully interesting space, right? And it's the kind of place where before the pandemic, tourists would sort of walk in, mm-hmm. see the farmer's market, come up to the farmer's market for a few minutes, and then they disappear.
Yeah.
And then an hour and a half later,
yep.
you see them pop up from somewhere.
Somewhere.
Right? And then you ask them, hey, is everything okay? And they have these big smiles on their faces like, listen, we lost, but we good where we is. Right? Like, we don't know where we is, but we're happy to be here.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful experience. So what types of events do you host on the compound and or are hosted by other people?
So the farmer's market, we have every week in season, every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We have had, like, Curly Hair Fest has been there, which was a festival dedicated to your kinks and your curls, mm-hmm. and taking care of natural hair. We've had the Mind, Body, and Spirit Festival, which was all about holistic self-care. People have had weddings there. People have had backyard parties. A little bit of everything.
Now, I know some young, trendy people were doing a series of culinary and style or culinary and art events on the compound.
Yeah, we had Fash Art there once in its inaugural year. There was a brunch series at one point. It's just a cool space. I mean...
So is it more about the space itself, or is it about the way that the owners, yourself and your mother, interact with the space? Or you're right, like you create an environment in the space that shows the potential users what they're going to feel like while they're here. You know, what the vibe is going to be like?
Yeah, I think my dad used to say that, you know, there were good spirits walking around on the property. And that's just the vibe of the space. I think part of it was in the design and the, like, building of the craft cottage, for example, which is a traditional clapboard house. So that's something that's just, it's kind of there and you're like, well, why is this here? But it's serving the function of the craft cottage now, and it makes sense. Even the color scheme, why is there a giant orange building on Village Road? Does it make sense? Probably not. But does it feel right? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And when you drop that Bahamian music playlist on in the background, you're like, this could be anyone's home. I think that's sort of the spirit, is you want it to feel like people belong there and people have a sense of themselves in that space.
All right. So you said that the farmer's market only runs for a season, right?
Right.
Like, what does that mean?
That means that there's a point in the year, when it gets too hot for there to be greens, which is usually the fruit season in the summertime. And so a lot of farmers take off that time to rotate crops or to prepare their beds for the following season. And so we have a little bit of a break there. Though, that being said, there are a lot of farmers who are really making strides in germinating seeds in the hotter months and using hydroponic systems to try and beat the system essentially and grow all year round. So like this season we would probably be wrapping up around now normally, but we're gonna go actually into the summer, and part of that is because we were away for so long with COVID and we're trying to, you know, get back into the groove of things. We started so late again. And part of it is because now we actually can, because there are greens that are still being grown. Mm-hmm.
And what I found is that there are farmers who, like you say, who are attempting to grow in the hot months, but who are actually researching and intending to grow in the hot months by researching and sourcing hot weather varieties of things that we typically eat or hot weather hybrids, right?
Right.
So, for instance, we eat a lot of cilantro, salads, Mexican food, right, and some Asian, East Indian cooking. But there is a hot weather variety of cilantro called sulantro that will do much better in this
environment,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I encourage vendors and farmers who want to continue to participate in a farmer's market year round to switch to hot-tolerant plants versus selling imported or out-of-season goods in our market.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to talk a bit about, like, from the space of how do you create and curate a market space or an experience or an event, what can farmers and vendors do to evolve or to help farmers markets survive or to evolve in the summer months?
I mean, if I had the answer to that, I would be having the market in the summer all the time already, right? But a couple of things. One, I think, and there are some farmers who do it. I can think of like Sunset Organic Farm, Whitland Miller, for example.
Yeah.
Like she makes beautiful salad mixes and she just changes what's in her mix over the summer, right? So she just adapts.
Imagine we will get more cabbages and collards and hardier varieties
of greens, which may not be to everyone's taste. So part of it is the farmers are adapting what it is that they're growing and what it is that they're selling, but also part of it is us adapting our diet as well to say that, you know, a lot of you, I've been selling chard for years, right? And every week without fail, I have to explain what chard is. And people are like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
But all these farmers are growing it. And I'm like, how much chard is actually going to waste? Because people are just like, I don't really know what to do with this
thing.
So there's a level of, you know, that's sort of like changing our food culture as well.
Vendors have to spend a lot of time preparing their customers for what's coming
exactly
next.
You know, that creates a whole separate industry of people who then cook prepared food to say, like, I'm using all of these leftover greens that people weren't really sure about, and I'm creating something that tastes so Bahamian, but it contains this ingredient that I've never heard of before. So how do you do something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also I think people are like, why should I have to pay for scarlet plums when scarlet plums is something that your Grammy just supposed to give you in a baggie? So how do you put value on something that's supposed to be for everybody?
Yeah.
In the summertime.
Rastaman has done it because scarlet plums selling at $12 a pound
$12 a pound?
On the side of the road.
It ain't $12 a pound.
Wait, look here.
It's expensive. Well, maybe.
But listen, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know?
No, like, it's not.
I'm not saying that price is outrageous, particularly since we don't, and we're not showing or telling the universe, like I like to say, we're not telling the universe we really want scarlet plums. We're not paying attention to when we clear land. Right, to how many trees there are, to how difficult it is to grow them.
Mm-hmm.
People are, I want to say the young people, right? Young people are inheriting properties and not going to investigate what
trees
on them.
They have.
So that same person who's saying, but my grandma used to give me these for free, she did from her tree on her property that you let die because you didn't care about these things.
Yeah, and also if you're new homeowners, please plant trees. And don't say, well, I want soursop now, and the soursop tree take 8 years. But in 8 years, you're going to have soursop when nobody else does.
Yeah.
So guess who's winning?
You are.
Yeah.
Right. Take the time. And, yeah. So let's sort of segue from there, right? You used to work for a walking tour company.
Right.
Now, I'm fascinated by walking tours.
Right.
A friend of mine, Bernard Farquharson, was working and living in France.
Mm-hmm.
And he posted one day about this walking tour experience he had where it's either an app on his phone or, you know, they give you a Walkman.
Right.
And you put on the headphones and you start taking this walking tour.
Sure.
Let's talk about that. I mean, so what type of tour or experience would this company provide for its customers?
I mean, just what you said, and maybe it just sounds too simple, but it's really a tour where you walk. You use your own legs.
Mm-hmm.
No car.
That ain't for me.
No train. It is for you because it's not necessarily very far. It's not going to be necessarily very strenuous. It's not an urban hike. It's just a walk.
All right. Cool.
Right?
Cool.
And I believe two things. The best way to get to know a city is by walking. Mm-hmm. And the best way to get to know a culture is through its food. And so if you can combine those two things, you get a really great experience. And it's such a simple formula, right?
Mm-hmm. So now in the time of COVID,
mm-hmm.
do you think a virtual tour, like virtual tours, are viable? Like, do you think we could convince somebody sitting in their home Whether in Minneapolis where it's snowy and it's covered in snow, or someone in Florida where the sun is just beating down on them, could we convince them to do a virtual tour of the ghost of Anne Bonny in Old Nassau Town?
Well, possibly, but I think that's more of a like virtual reality tour versus a like I'm walking around.
No, but that's what I mean.
Zoom link. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Tell me what you're saying. It would need more.
No, but this is it. It would be more of a virtual reality tour. Would that mean I need virtual reality glasses?
No, maybe it means that you create a video. So, like, for example, we do have a escape room downtown that's focused on pirates, right?
Okay.
So I could take the escape room experience and put that online. And that could mean that somebody is in the room and they're telling me to look under, to open up this chest or to turn the key here. Or that could mean that we created a virtual world where you could click on things and open things up yourself and discover that. One of the things that happened in COVID was transforming spaces from virtual, which is a huge art experience that's put on by the local galleries here every year. And, you know, when we didn't know anything, we were like, we'll just postpone it for 3 months. It's going to be fine. And then it became apparent that postponing it for 3 months wasn't going to be the solution. So it went online, and that meant the art galleries then did a virtual tour where a guide was taking you throughout the space through video, and you watched the video. Now, is it a direct replacement for having that experience in real life? Probably not, because there's something very tactile and immersive about being in a space, right, and walking around specifically. But is there a way to take experiences online? Definitely. Like, Airbnb shifted. They were really getting into experiences on uh-huh. their platform, right? And they shifted to online experiences. So, like, I could go and book a flamenco class today, or I could have a traditional Japanese cellist play me music, meditative music, for $7 for an hour.
Right. So a viable product right now
right.
is I've rented an Airbnb. I've mm-hmm. come to the Bahamas, but it's still sort of on lockdown.
Right.
So in my Airbnb, I could go in the backyard and possibly sign up for a online drumming session.
Right. But not even that I'm in an Airbnb. I could be anywhere in the world. So yeah. let's say I'm a straw vendor and I haven't been able to go downtown all year, right? Uh-huh. I could... Obviously, people don't have top at their house, but they do have maybe a pack of 8x11 paper. They could cut it into quarter inch strips, and I could teach you how to do 5-string plot for an hour.
Yeah.
On Zoom.
Yeah.
If that's something that you're interested in, and somebody is interested in that.
Listen, dear Family Island practitioners of straw plaiting, if the Bahamians don't value this skill enough to ensure that they learn it and preserve it, then maybe I will give you permission to consider teaching it to foreigners. Right? Because something have to work. Something
maybe
have
not
to
the
give.
Peas and rice. Maybe just the basics.
Yeah.
You know, not the fish pot platter. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing too fancy.
But just the basics.
Just a little something.
But I mean, and is that a far cry, though, from a plaiting course at University of the Bahamas?
Well, a plaiting course actually does exist at BTVI. And you can learn how to plot and then create straw products. And they actually did that virtually last year.
Wow. Because yeah. I could find 7 people right now that would come to the Bahamas and spend a week yeah. or 2 weeks if they could do
an immersive straw plotting experience. Yes.
Right. And that's how we create
experiences.
Look mm-hmm. here. This is awesome. We got about 5 minutes left. And now, you know, I have a text who asked me, where can I purchase plums? Well, first of all, the police trying to lock up Rasta, right? So until we, as a collective, lobby the state and show them that they need to help us find a safe place for Rasta to sell the tamarind, because mm-hmm. I want Rasta to continue to take advantage, mm-hmm. right, of that, then we're going to have a tough time. You could buy them from me. I can't promise you that I can be fair, though.
They can be sweet? They may only be the green ones you could get?
Hey, listen, it's a grab bag. As a Mitchell, you just never know what's going to happen. The only thing you'll be certain of is they're going to be expensive. Because I get to pay my BPL bill like everybody else. Orchid, we are almost out of time, and I didn't even get to the...
I know, to any of the questions you want to ask.
But I mean, I got to some of them, but I have 85,000 here. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the most underrated experience for the ordinary Bahamian? Like things that people could be doing right now, but they don't really know about?
There's so many things. I actually started for my birthdays every year doing something in Nassau with my friends that none of us have ever done before. And we have done the most random things, including hanging off the side of Clifton Rock Wall.
Right. Is that with Chick Johnny? Chick Johnny Run.
Yeah, sure did.
Wow.
Would I do it again? Maybe if I could hit the gym for a year and prepare.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something, you could go rock climbing in the Bahamas outside and not on a rock wall, which I didn't know existed, and it didn't exist until recently. You could go kayaking and have a full moon kayak with Wolf on the lake.
Not werewolf, you know. Not werewolf, but Wolf Albury.
Wolf Albury.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Eric Rose's posting about the blue holes the other day, and you know, I have not thought about them since like 7th grade social studies.
Right.
And I was like, wow.
When's
the last time I've been to the Blue Hole in Nassau?
Now, look here. That's a great family activity of a Blue Hole and Sinkhole and National Park tour.
Right. Go to Bonefish Pond. Go out to the Primeval Forest. Find out why they call it Primeval. Get back to us. You know, like...
Go out by R.M. Bailey. Find out if it's a Blue Hole, a Sinkhole, or a swimming pool, and the government just don't want to tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're right there. So you can't go to the beach, but you could go to the Blue Hole. Lockdown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one more question. What types of systems, services, and infrastructure do you think we need to maximize not just the potential of not just experiential tourism in the external sense, like inviting foreigners, but local domestic tourism and recreational activities? I can say for me, we need to enhance our ambulance service and our transportation services, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Everything is about access, right? That's what you're saying. So what is prohibiting access here? And getting to the primeval forest by bus?
Yeah, difficult.
You can do it. It is going to take a minute.
2 hours and no schedule.
Right. Or even simple things like one of the things when I was doing tours and we were walking around, people thought it was an adventure tour because they had never seen a sidewalk so small.
I'm not laughing.
And I was like, you know, this sidewalk is twice the size it used to be, and we could literally be walking in the gutter. So, you know, take your blessings where you can get them and keep it moving. And also look four ways before you cross the street.
Absolutely. Orchid, I'm going to have you back on to have this conversation because I think this discussion, this conversation about how we create and curate events, experiences, and spaces is perhaps one of the most important that we could have. And I want to say this to politicians and the people who serve y'all, right? Like you really have to think about how you create and curate a space that you invite people into. In particular, when we're talking about having campaign activities, even though the COVID orders do not allow campaign activities. I couldn't leave that one out. Orchid, I am all out of time, and I just got a couple of housekeeping notes to get to before I end the show. Text here, Aaron Sebast does not have a criminal record, so he can be anything he wants to be. I never said. Plenty preachers on Christian Council will confess to their past criminal life, drug use or drug selling and gang banging, etc. Look at Sir Roland. He did plenty dirt but became premier, and he's on our $50 note. Aaron, he without sin cast the first stone. My dear, dear text, I'd like to thank you very much. I don't understand why you think we're not in agreement, right? This place is a very, very special place. And we have not stopped wrecking since the moment we started to the point where we are even wrecking the things that we own. We on the boat, wrecking our own boat. So I sort of agree with you and don't agree with you. Maybe we could talk about that again later on in the week or in the upcoming months, because that's a fantastic discussion that we need to have. Who legitimizes you and when do you become legitimate? LOI need to know the answer to that question.
Pirate versus privateer. Same job, different title.
That's the thing, eh? Mm-hmm. LOI do believe you are correct. So as I end the show, I want to remind you to join the Ministry of Finance on Thursday, May 27th at 10 a.m. for the National Budget Press Conference. Watch the live stream on Facebook via the Ministry of Finance, the Bahamas' page, or tune into your favorite local TV or radio station. I think that's our news in 96.9 FM. And this message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Thank you, Orchid Burnside, for wonderful discussion. We have to continue. Thank you to my texting audience for always informing me in the show. And thank you to my texter. I know you don't mind paying. I'm going to make you pay. We all have to pay to ensure that we could preserve this thing we call Scarlet Plum. But I ain't going to make you pay too much, customer. You guys have a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock with Aaron Green and my guest today, Orchid Burnside.
Thanks for having me.
And stay tuned, because Levon Miller and Unleash is coming up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.